Appropriations Committee to order. We have 15 bills up for hearing today, and I think it's five of which are eligible for a do-pass motion. The remaining bills are scheduled for suspense. The following seven bills listed in the daily file will not be heard today. AB 1346 Gray, AB 2022 Gordon, AB 2542 Gatto. They have been rescheduled to a later hearing. AB 470, AB 1666, AB 2032, AB 2801 have been approved as 28-8s and will go straight to the floor. Before we call the first author up, that will be Assemblywoman Christina Garcia. I would like to remind the audience and members that testimony should be limited to the fiscal aspects of the bill, and we'd like to refrain from any lengthy policy discussions and your comments. Sergeants, please call the, oh, we have all our committee members here, so we do have a quorum.
Missing Mendoza.
Oh, missing one, but we do have a quorum. Yeah, do you want to, please call a roll.
Laura? Bates?
Here.
Bates here, Bell?
Here.
Bell here, Hill?
Here.
Hill here, McGuire?
Here.
McGuire here, Mendoza? Nielsen?
Yep.
Nielsen here.
Thank you. Then we'll begin with our first author, which is Assemblywoman Garcia. There she is.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman and members. AB 1180 directs the California Public Utilities Commission to determine whether it still makes sense to levy a transaction fee on water utility customers that pay their bills with a credit card or debit card. It would allow water utility to waive the transaction fee for customers paying with the card and provide the CPUC with data on customers' payment preferences. The CPUC will report its finding and conclusions to the legislature. With me, I have Pam Loomis representing the California Water Association, the sponsor of the bill, to answer any questions. I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Witnesses in support.
Good morning. Pam Loomis here on behalf of the California Water Association, which represents about 108 investor-owned water utilities that provide safe, reliable drinking water to about 6 million California residents. This bill, AB 1180, will allow us to collect data on our customers' payment option preferences that we will then provide to the PUC, and then the PUC will assess and report back to the legislature. So we do believe it will be minimal cost to the state. We ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in support?
Jennifer Capitolo on behalf of California American Water Company. We are one of the companies that brought this issue to attention of the association and the author of the bill, and we've been hearing from our customers their concerns about having to be assessed a credit card transaction fee. So we went to the association and asked them and the Assemblywoman to sponsor this bill, and we think this would be a huge strides for our customers in moving us into this new world of technology. Ask for your support.
Thank you. Are there any witnesses here in opposition? Department of Finance.
Jacqueline Wong Hernandez with the Department of Finance. We don't have a position on this bill. According to the PUC, they're estimating $131,000 in utilities reimbursement account costs, and one PUC regulatory analyst three for rate case data collection, analysis, and coordination to implement the bill.
Thank you. This bill was marked for suspense, but determined that it is eligible to go to the floor. Member comments, questions? I do have a question. I was wondering why the using a credit card, usually the person who uses the card is charged the 2 or 3% for using the card. And in our analysis, and we had it suspense, so we hadn't really done an in-depth review of it, suggests that that fee would be passed to all the ratepayers. And that's kind of odd.
So right now, the collecting fees, it costs a cost, whether it's processing the check or having someone in person. And those fees are transferred to all the ratepayers, including the ratepayers who are paying by credit card. Mm-hmm. And so most people are not wanting to pay by credit card. It's probably going to be cheaper than the alternatives we have. But the current model is that it is assessed and spread across everyone. But the credit card... people paying with credit card are paying twice. They're paying the fee for everyone, plus they're paying this additional fee for the credit card that no one else pays.
Okay. And there are no, is there a motion?
So
Madam. It is going, this is due pass to the floor. It's not going to, it's, was a candidate for suspense, but.
Yes, we were surprised too, but appreciative.
You talk to the right people, you guys, you know, that's how it goes. Okay. Madam Chair, call a roll. Madam.
The motion is due pass to the Senate floor. Lara? Bates?
I'm not voting.
Bell?
Aye.
Bell, aye. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. McGuire?
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Mendoza? Nielsen?
That bill will be on call.
Thank you.
We'll leave the roll open, but if passed, it goes directly to the floor. Do we have?
We have Assemblymember Baker.
Assemblymember Baker.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, thank you for having me, Senators. Thank you, Madam Chair, Vice Chair, and members. I'm pleased to present Assembly Bill 1399 to you this morning. This is a bill with bipartisan co-authors and passed unanimously out of the Assembly and the Senate Governance and Finance Committee. 1399 will increase available resources to victims of domestic violence by providing additional funding from Californians who choose to donate their own private dollars on their California tax returns to the California Domestic Violence Victim Fund. The recipients of these contributions must be nonprofit domestic violence organizations who are grant recipients under the Office of Emergency Services Comprehensive Statewide Domestic Violence Program. State funding, as I'm sure you know, does not meet all the needs of domestic violence victims in our communities, and many funding sources have been reduced or eliminated completely. And the fiscal realities are that where we can't do enough with government. Government can't do everything and shouldn't do everything. This is one way in which we can help Californians leverage their own private dollars to assist those local domestic violence programs in our local communities to benefit our own constituents. With this tax checkoff, we're also seeing an opportunity for us to support ongoing those domestic violence programs that are already participants in the Office of Emergency Services rather than creating necessarily new ones over and over again. This has a relatively small dollar price. The Office of Emergency Services have identified the cost as being minor and absorbable, and the only opposition so far to the bill has been from our good colleagues at the Department of Finance, who project an $8,000 loss of income tax revenues, and which I think is worth the benefit that we can be obtaining for our constituents in leveraging their private dollars for victims in our communities. And for these reasons, I respectfully ask for your aye vote. Thank you. Joining me in support is Jackie Marroquin, manager of the California Partnership to End Domestic Violence. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairman Lara and members of the committee. My name is Jackie Marroquin. I am a capacity building program manager with the California Partnership to End Domestic Violence. We are the federally recognized domestic violence coalition representing over 1,000 victims, advocates, shelters, legal clinics, and other allied organizations. We are pleased to support AB 1399, which would allow individuals to make a voluntary tax contribution to support domestic violence programs in California. This voluntary tax contribution will provide a simple option for Californians to be a part of the solution in addressing and ultimately ending domestic violence in our state. Donations to this fund would support domestic violence programs all across the state, programs that provide life-saving services to survivors, their families, and their communities. And it would do all this at limited cost to the state. And for these reasons, we respectfully urge your support.
Additional witnesses in support.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Kathy Christian, representing the Board of Supervisors of Contra Costa County. Thank the author very much for this bill. That Contra Costa has been in the business of coordinating and advancing domestic violence programs for a number of years. This will build on that program. It's been very successful and cost-effective, that coordination. So we urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Witnesses in opposition? There are none. Department of Finance.
The Department of Finance is opposed to this bill, not because of the worthiness of the programs, but we're opposed to tax checkoffs and will continue to be opposed to all of the voluntary tax checkoffs because we think it is an equitable tax policy and that the state shouldn't use the tax form to endorse certain programs by allowing them to solicit donations on the tax return.
Thank you. Comments, questions from committee members? There are none. Do we have a motion? We have a motion. Please call the roll.
The motion is due pass to the Senate floor. Lara? Bates?
Aye.
Bates, aye. Bell?
Aye.
Bell, aye. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. McGuire?
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Mendoza? Nielsen?
Aye.
Nielsen, aye.
The bill's on call. Hold it till we have the absent members here.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Assemblymember Weber.
Assemblymember Weber. This is a suspense candidate.
Yes.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. I'm here today to present to you AB 1679, Access to State-Funded Preschool for Military Families. AB 1679 really streamlines the process by excluding the basic allowance for housing when determining eligibility for statewide preschool services. Some of you may know San Diego has the largest population of military families, and as a result of this large population, we're beginning to see that many of our families, even though they live in poverty, do not qualify for the state preschool because of the way in which their income is calculated utilizing the housing allowance. So this bill hopes to streamline this process by excluding the basic allowance for housing when determining eligibility for statewide preschool services. Considering the special challenges these children experience, it is critical that these already in need families have access to high quality child care. This bill has a diverse group of support, including the U.S. Marine Corps, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the California Alternative Payment Program Association, and First Five of California. This bill is not a new program, but it simply codifies in statute an existing program. The fact that it relieves the CDE of responsibility for approving waivers should actually reduce costs. The consensus is that the bill has minor fiscal impact, and for all intents and purposes, is really cost neutral. I have with me today Ned McKinley, who representing the Marine Corps, and Debbie Look from the California Department of Education, who are all in support of AB 1679.
Thank you. Mrs.
That was on. Yes, sir.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Ned McKinley with the Marine Corps. Just a couple of quick comments. The first is that this bill really takes what's a good policy the Department of Education is doing, just makes it consistent statewide. So it really helps our lower enlisted at some of the outlying districts that we don't have a whole lot of familiarity with. And the other one is a lot of the districts, the larger districts, actually report openings, and they are actually actively seeking out military children, San Diego Unified, which is the largest in the state. So we are really confident that the bill is fiscally neutral.
Debbie Look on behalf of State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Torlakson in support. And as Assemblymember Weber and Ned mentioned, the bill really has no direct costs. The department assumes that the implementation of the bill will be minor and absorbable costs. The bill does not require any additional preschool spaces to be funded, so we believe it's an important step to making sure that these military children who are often facing difficult situations with multiple relocations and parents being deployed have the benefit of the stability of a strong quality preschool education. For these reasons, I urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in support?
Good morning, Madam Chair, Senators Pamela Gibbs, representing the Los Angeles County Office of Education. We strongly support this measure for the reasons previously stated. We also understand state and federal alignment of these policies would be helpful as well going forward, so we urge your support for this bill.
Thank you. Witnesses in opposition, anyone here in opposition? Department of Finance.
We don't have a position on this bill. We would agree that there aren't direct state costs, but as it does make more military families eligible for state preschool, there is some Prop 98 cost pressure that we think could be significant. In addition, the bill reduces a military family's stated income, which would increase their priority for services in the program, which is prioritized by income level. So we would note that.
Thank you. Comments or questions from committee members? This is a candidate for suspense. Assemblymember Weber, would you like to close?
Yes, I want to thank those who work with us. And while we are in our office and obviously the supporters disagree with placing this on suspense because it obviously is a program that already exists in some form and we're trying to codify it in law and make sure that it's available statewide for everyone. So we disagree that it needs to be on suspense. We're more than happy to work with those who may see some other options available, ensuring that it passes this committee and obviously gets off suspense in the fall. This is extremely important to our military families who work so very hard for us in a lot of ways, and not to be able to have access, which is really what we're talking about, and not even priority, but basically having access to preschool and not be penalized because of their housing allowance. We would respectfully ask for an aye vote when this comes off suspense.
Thank you, Assemblymember Weber. I'll put a big star by that, so when Senator Lara's
Thank you. I would definitely appreciate
take
that.
Take a long, hard look at it. But
Thank
without
you.
Objection, the bill will go to suspend.
All right. Thank you very much.
Do we have any other?
Senator Hill, present Senator Lara's bill.
Okay. Yeah. Senator Hill, would you like to do Senator Lara's bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning. This is SB 1187 is one of the bills carried by the chairs of the appropriations committees each year to provide appropriation authority for legal settlements approved by the Department of Justice and the Department of Finance. This urgency bill appropriates $235,400 from the general fund to the Department of Justice to pay one legal settlement in the case of Bologna Wetlands Land Trust versus Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission. The settlement was entered into lawfully by the state upon advice of counsel, and it is a binding state obligation. Any funds appropriated in excess of the amount required for the claim reverts back to the general fund. With me today is Mr. Robert Sumner with the Department of Justice for any technical questions. I respectfully ask for an aye vote, members.
Thank you. Witness and supporter.
Yes, Robert Sumner with the Department of Justice. This is a settlement following a petition that was granted for the release of public records, and we estimate that the settlement comes to about two-thirds the cost of what a final motion would have resulted in.
Any additional witnesses in support? Any in opposition? Do you have questions? Senator Nielsen?
It would appear to me that this whole matter could have been handled a lot differently. Maybe finance, who obviously supports this being paid, any corrective action to have better oversight in the future so this kind of thing doesn't happen in the future again and we incur these legal obligations. Some sleight of hand at how this seems to be handled legally, it appears to me.
Well, I believe that in this instance, there was a legitimate legal question about whether or not the individuals that were served the petition for public records were, in fact, employees of the state for purposes of the act. So there was a legitimate legal question here. And while the court did find that the document should have been turned over absent that litigation, it wasn't so black and white as just malfeasance on behalf of the commission. So I believe that oversight is always welcome. But in this instance, this is the result of us having resolved a question of law.
But it resolves it in this case. But I would hope that someone is taking note that we get them, at least in the case here of the trust and the Restoration Commission, that they take a look prospectively to not get themselves into this situation. So is the foundation
going to continue with the Department of Finance, I think I skipped over you.
We're in support. In terms of the specifics of the case, obviously the Attorney General's office is going to be in a better position to comment on it. We didn't give legal review to the case. We gave a review to the reasonableness of the settlement. I understand Senator Nielsen's point, and I think that it's a good one, but there's nothing that I can guarantee you on that, but I understand about wanting people to act in ways that don't get us into this sort of situation.
I think the concern is precedent setting, allowing a private nonprofit to actually shield information that would have been required of a state agency to produce, you know, without question. So I just think there's a structure issue, and you've made a note of that. So going forward, it would be helpful if it's at least part of the record to take a look at those things going forward, and certainly Department of Justice, too. Any additional questions or comments from committee members? Would you like to close?
Respectfully ask for an aye vote, Madam Chair. Members.
Madam Secretary, call the roll.
Motion.
Oh, we need a motion. Sorry. We need a motion from the caucus over there. Okay.
The motion is due pass to the Senate floor. Laura? Bates?
Aye.
Bates, aye. Bell?
Aye.
Bell, aye. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. McGuire? McGuire, aye. Mendoza? Mendoza, aye. Nielsen.
Aye.
Nielsen, aye.
That bill is out. Do you pass to the Senate floor? Do we have?
Assemblymember Mullen is up next.
Assemblymember Mullen. Welcome. This is a do pass with amendments, and you might address that, Assemblymember Mullen, in your presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. I'd like to start by accepting the committee's technical amendments to the bill, which will remove outdated references to the way we used to fund the CSU. AB 2317 seeks to address the growing need for audiologists in California by authorizing the CSU system to offer the Doctorate of Audiology degree. As a hearing aid consumer, this issue is personal to me. Audiologists are healthcare professionals who provide diagnostic and rehabilitative care for individuals with hearing and balance disorders. Unfortunately, there is a significant shortage of licensed audiologists in the state. They currently number approximately 1,600. At its heart, this bill is aimed at addressing this shortage. California has only one public university doctoral degree program in audiology. It's a joint program between San Diego State and UC San Diego, which is housed at San Diego State. That program has very limited capacity and produces between 5 and 13 audiologists per year. This is an authorization bill. By design, it does not address which campus or campuses should house the doctoral programs, nor discuss financing of the degree program, which some experts believe could be self-supporting. Those are discussions that will follow once CSU has this authority. As noted in the committee analysis, this bill will not have a significant fiscal impact to the state. I have with me today Wes Larson, legislative advocate for CSU, and Barry Brokaw, the legislative advocate for the California Academy of Audiology.
Witnesses in support, proceed.
Madam Chair and members, Barry Brokaw on behalf of the California Academy of Audiology, representing the state's licensed audiologist. The newborn screening program that infants go through in California upon birth is now picking up about 1,200 kids, infants, with severe hearing disabilities. As we get older in population, we're finding that 25% of adults between 55 and 65 have hearing loss disabilities, and the number goes up to 50% by the time you're 75. And as Mr. Mullen just said, we don't have enough audiologists in this state. CSU used to be the training ground for audiologists when it was a master's degree level. We had several state programs at the CSU with the doctoral degree that's been in place since 2007. We have a real shortage of training ground in our state. So we support the bill. Typically, industries, professions don't like to expand the number in their profession who are practicing. We have an acute shortage. We really need to do this, and no one disputes that. So we're here to support the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional witness on support?
Yes. Good morning. Wes Larson, California State University. The CSU has taken a support position, and we support Mr. Mullen and the efforts of the Audiology Association to give us this authority. We ask for your aye vote.
Any witnesses in opposition? Seeing none. Department of Finance.
We don't have a position on this bill. It provides CSU authority and requires that they use existing resources if they choose to go down this road.
Any questions or comments from Senator Beal? We have a motion.
I just want to say I'm very supportive of this. My nephew, who is a severe hard of hearing, just got his degree at San Francisco State University. And my other nephew just got his degree at the Idaho School of the Deaf. And we're very proud of them. We have 7 in our family that are hard of hearing or no hearing. So this is a very important component because early identification really will lead to a successful life and career and education. So I vote on this. I think it's very important to have a sufficient number of audiologists. It's a real easy thing to do to screen somebody. And if you're not screened, your life is affected in a profound way. So I urge support for this.
Madam Chair, I just think this is a tremendous bill because we should be utilizing the state university system, the CSUs, so much more than we have. And this is such a needed profession, needed service, that it's just hopefully this will open the door to other opportunities that we can do. So thank you for bringing that, Assemblymember Mullen. She's got a motion already. Thank you.
Any other comments, Senator Nelson?
Do we, the amendments adopted here, we don't have the amendments, do we?
No, we didn't.
Do we know what they do? Are they technical? Why don't we explain the amendments?
They're noted in the analysis, but they're being drafted by council right now.
They are, excuse me?
They're in the analysis, but they're being drafted by council right now, and we've run them by your staff.
Okay, all right. Well, it's nice to have them physically handed out. I'm glad they're in the analysis, but it's also nice to have them handed out in committee. That's sort of a tradition in the legislature to have the amendments in committee so the members can look at them, not just the analysis. That said, I will be supportive as well. Just a reference, the doctoral degrees are historically under the master plan granted by UC and not by CSU. It's been a long-standing debate. And as the keeper of the master plan, I'm very sensitive to these issues. But over the years, and with the master plan review of the 1980s and the new legislation that Senator Vasconcellos, or then Assemblyman Vasconcellos and I authored, joint doctorals were allowed, but in only very limited areas. And I will attest that this would be such a case of a limited area where it would be worthy. I would not be supportive of a lot of doctoral programs moving to CSU, but in areas of critical need, this would certainly be one. Nursing is another. So I am going to be supportive of this bill because it does make sense and it is a critical need. But I have to put that caution out because I don't want to see CSU getting too interested in doctorals. That's not of their master plan mission.
Thank you. Any additional comments? There are none. We do have a motion.
If I could just respond, and I did, for my good friend from the north, the master plan, as we know, is what, 60 years, 50 years old, and it has worked. It certainly worked for me as I went through my post-high school and secondary education and was quite successful, but it hasn't worked, and it's not working today in so many areas of California for so many citizens and so many of our constituents. So I think we, if we could keep it and have it work as it was intended, I think we'd be in great form, and that's how we should proceed. But there are so many opportunities that we can take that can provide greater access for many. I think this is a good move for that, and I think we should look at it. So thank you.
I would concur that the need here is acute, and that's certainly a very noble path for this bill, absolutely. And I think we would need to look going, you know, into the future where we will have those shortages as there's more need in various disciplines. So with that, I'll ask Madam Secretary to call the roll. I'm sorry, he made, yeah, Senator McGuire made the bill, made the motion.
The motion is do pass to the Senate floor. Lara? Bates?
Aye. Do pass as amended to the Senate floor?
Yeah, the motion is do pass as amended to the Senate floor. Lara? Bates?
Aye.
Bates, aye. Bell?
Aye.
Bell, aye. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. McGuire?
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Nielsen?
Aye.
Nielsen, aye.
That bill is out.
Thank you.
And
This is
Mr. Gomez. Mr. Gomez, okay. AB 2750. Oh, okay. Page 38.
I have to. Assemblymember
Gomez, welcome.
Hi, Chair, Senators. Today I'm presenting Assembly Bill 2750, which will exempt a person from tissue bank licensure if they are storing certain types of allograft tissue. Currently, without a tissue bank license, you cannot store allograft tissue for use. This creates a situation where hospitals and surgery centers order tissue for the same day usage. When tissues go unused in that day, they are required to return tissues on that same day. AB 2750 creates a narrow exemption for a hospital or outpatient setting to store allograft tissue as long as they maintain a log of when the tissue was received, when it expires, among other information. The stored tissue must be obtained from a licensed tissue bank, be individually boxed, and have a unique identification code. It is not intended for further distribution and registered with the FDA. Here to speak on the bill, I have Scott Governor representing MyMedx.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Scott Governor here on behalf of MyMedx. As Assemblymember Gomez said, this is intended to streamline the process for a very narrow subset of tissues that can be maintained at room temperature for several years. This is a significantly scaled back version of a measure which this legislature passed in 2014 that was vetoed by the governor. We are working with the administration and CDPH to try and address those concerns. But again, this is intended to drive the price down of consumer health care, and we ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in support? Witnesses in opposition? Department of Finance.
We don't have a position on this bill. The Department of Public Health estimates that 268 of its current tissue bank licensees out of 800 could potentially qualify for exemption in this bill. Assuming that they all do, the tissue bank license fund would lose ongoing revenue of $261,000. We would note that the revenue lost from the exemption could be offset, though, to the extent that it wouldn't need to be administered. There'd be sort of a resulting decrease in workload.
Any comments or questions from members? There's a motion. Would you like to close?
Ask for your aye vote.
Madam Secretary, call the roll.
Motion is due pass to the Senate floor. Lara? Bates?
Aye.
Bates, aye. Bell?
Aye.
Bell, aye. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. McGuire? McGuire, aye. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Nielsen?
Aye.
Nielsen, aye.
Thank that you, bill is out.
Senator Nielsen was going to add on to the Garcia bill that you both held off on.
Oh, he was going to add on.
Oh, do you want to open the? Should we open? Call on the two bills on call.
AB 1180, the motion is due pass to the Senate floor. Lara? Bates? Mendoza? Mendoza, aye. Nielsen?
Aye.
Nielsen, aye.
That bill is out.
AB 1399, the motion is due pass to the Senate floor. Lara? Mendoza? 1399, Baker? Mendoza, aye.
That bill is out.
Thank you.
And that completes the number of bills that are to be voted on. The remainder are suspense candidates. And should we do the way of the presentation first?
Yes. We can start.
Should we start with Olson?
Yes, with Olson.
AB 54, Assemblywoman Olson. Witnesses in support? Witnesses opposition? Department of Finance.
The commission estimates costs of approximately $127,000 general fund to implement and administer the provisions of this measure. These costs are associated with the development, implementation, and maintenance of an automated digital data capture format.
Any comments or questions from committee members? None. Without objection, this will go to suspense. Item AB 1005 by Assemblymember Gordon. Oh, we'll go there first. I skip Cooley. Let's go back. AB 736, Assemblymember Cooley. Witnesses in support? Witnesses in opposition? Witness in support.
Joycelyn Martinez-Wade with the California State Teachers Retirement System. We're the sponsors of this bill. We expect that if there is a distinct possibility the incumbents in these current positions, the chief financial officer and chief operating officer, will be hired once under the authority of the board. If that's the case, there are limits on their salary. And as the analysis says, then the total increase would be $34,580. If we hire new people into those positions, the board's policy is to hire at the midpoint, which would be at... $116,300. Thank you.
Thank you. Witnesses in opposition? There are none. Department of Finance.
The Department of Finance is opposed to this bill because it proposes to circumvent the California Department of Human Resources salary setting authority and increase the system's annual operating costs.
Comments from committee members? There are none. Without objection, this will move to suspense. AB 1005, Assemblymember Gordon. Witnesses in support? Witnesses in opposition? Department of Finance.
The Department of Finance is opposed to this bill because it could increase the Beverage Container Recycling Fund annual structural deficit, which is currently estimated to be approximately $75 million. This bill also results in costs of $10 million annually for 5 years to that same fund for a total five-year impact of $50
million. Any comments, questions from committee members? Then without objection, this will move to suspense. AB 1869, Assemblymember Melendez. Witnesses in support?
Madam Chair, David Jones, on behalf of the cities of Burbank and Murrieta in support. Yeah.
John Lovell on behalf of the Association for LA County Deputy Sheriffs, California Association of Code Enforcement Officers, College and University Police Chiefs Association, California Narcotic Officers Association, LA County Professional Peace Officers, LA Police Protective League, and Riverside Sheriffs Association, all in support.
Witnesses in opposition? Department of Finance.
The Department of Finance is opposed to this bill because it could increase the state prison population, which impacts our ability to comply with the federal court's order to reduce prison overcrowding to 137.5% of design capacity. Additionally, we believe it can result in general fund costs that are not included in the administration's current fiscal plan. We would also note that the Secretary of State may incur additional costs to put a new measure on the ballot.
Any comments or questions from committee members? I would just like to note that on this particular bill, it's similar to some of the other firearms bills, has less cost than a number of those. This one is going to suspense, rightfully so, but I think that we need to note the difference here with the group that came through on special meeting. I think it was last week, and many of those exceeded the cost of this one. So Department of Finance, just to note that without objection then, this will go to suspense. AB 1931, Assemblymember Rodriguez. Witnesses in support? Witnesses in opposition? Department of Finance.
The Emergency Medical Services Authority indicates that this bill will result in the need for one position and 24 months of funding, totaling $264,000 general fund, to revise regulations necessary to implement the bill. We would note that the costs for this position would have to be shifted to the 17-18 and the 18-19 fiscal years because they're not included in the current budget.
Any questions or comments from committee members? There are none. Then without objection, that this will go to suspense. AB 1999, Assemblymember Cacho, Akajadian, hard to say, Ashadian. Witnesses in support? Witnesses in opposition? Department of Finance.
No file.
Questions or comments from committee members? Or none, then without objection, this will move to suspense. I think that, no, we have two more. AB 2620 by Assemblymember DeBovne. Witnesses in support? Witnesses in opposition? Department of Finance.
The Department of Finance is neutral on this bill as it seeks to expedite the use of existing bond funds on projects that would improve passenger rail service.
Comments, questions from committee members? There are none. Without objection then, this bill will go to suspense. AB 2741 by Assemblymember Salas. Witnesses in support? Witnesses in opposition? Department of Finance.
The Department of Finance is opposed to this bill. We think it's unnecessary that the commission is already thoroughly involved in providing oversight to the Caltrans updates to the transportation plan.
Comments, questions from some committee members? There are none. Then without objection, this bill will go to suspense. And that completes the waived presentations. So do we have some more?
We have one item that we're waiting for an author, and they may waive.
That does complete our list, our file order. We will be putting, is it AB 385? Correct. Will be put over by Assemblymember Chu. So with that, we're adjourned.